It is Farm Talk. I'm Mick Kerr. On Wednesday, Stewardship Wednesday, brought to you by Agassiz Seed and Supply. It's Wednesday, Stewardship Wednesday on Farm Talk, but it's also National Cheeseburger Day. So the first question I have for North Dakota State University Extension Livestock Stewardship Specialist, Dr. Gerald Stocka. Jerry, where can you get a cheeseburger in Turtle Lake, North Dakota?
You know, that's a really good question, but I'm pretty confident of one thing, Mick. You can get a cheeseburger in Turtle Lake, North Dakota, and it's probably not an Impossible Burger or Beyond Burger. It's not a plant-based burger.
I'll bet not. I looked it up here. Bev's Cafe, downtown there. Marv's Bar in Turtle Lake, or you have to run down to Underwood at JD's Garage, which is a five-star place, apparently. So, anyway.
Quick story. I got a quick story for you, Mick. When I was in Ukraine, the country of Ukraine, over 20 years ago, I was out in the way from civilization, so to speak. When I got back to Kiev, what I wanted more than anything was a cheeseburger. And I think it cost me $13 at that time, and I didn't care because I wanted one that bad.
No chicken Kiev. It was cheeseburger Kiev there.
Absolutely.
Pretty cool. All righty. Well, Jerry, as we phase out of summertime here, although we've had summer weather the last couple of days, is the summer pneumonia and the fly issue, are all of these things in the rearview mirror now, or are there some other pasture stewardship issues we're looking at?
Yeah, this is a summer to remember for many reasons. Some places had way too much water, and some places were maybe still a little short, and some places were just right. But, you know, the grass is still green here. It's pretty remarkable to see the pasture conditions and what they are. The flies were not as bad as I've seen in recent years. The summer pneumonias, you know, there's always a few cases. Didn't seem to be too bad this year. But we are approaching that time of the year when we're going to think about, you know, taking calves away from cows. We call that weaning, and we sometimes end up with a little problem after weaning if we don't wean right, or if we haven't done some vaccine protocols right, or if we've mixed cattle together. Mick, that's the most common issue I see on ranches in North Dakota, is that we almost never have all the cattle in the same pasture at one time. We use different pastures in different locations, and then the idea is we bring them all together at one time, the calves, and wean them together. Well, it's like throwing five, six, seven, eight different nursery schools together at one time, and you'll have colds and earaches and everything else. And the same thing kind of happens with calves, and that's why we get some post-weaning pneumonias going on. So that still is something that most likely will happen.
And where I grew up in the Cheyenne Valley grasslands, you had everybody, you know, about five or six, seven other producers' cattle there and together all summer, and yeah, you'll bring them home and wean them, and yeah, you got, in addition to all of your different day schools, you got all the other ones too. So
yeah, no, that's right. And it, you know, commingling, putting groups of calves together at that young age is one of the most stressful things we do to them, and we can do things to alleviate that. And so, in other words, when you bring, let's say I've got six different pastures, if there's a way that I can bring all the cows and calves together in one spot so they can get used to each other while they're still on the mother, that takes away a lot of that weaning stress, and that helps a lot. I understand that not everyone can do that because sometimes they wean by pasture. The thing that you could do to alleviate that is if you had five or six different pens that you could wean those calves in, then that kind of alleviates that stress as well.
Okay, but good nutrition here in the next 30 to 45 days, that would alleviate the stresses and the diseases likely, huh?
Well, it's one of the contributors to good management. I don't know, the grass is really green, and it's green, kept green, and it's kept growing, but, you know, you get this time of the year, and even the mature grasses look green, and I know the food value in them is not as good as what it should be, and so you need to target that nutrition toward that young calf, and how much he's going to eat kind of dictates what percentages I'm going to put in to the ration. So I'm obviously going to need a little more protein, I'm going to put a little bit more energy in there, but not too much, especially when I'm starting out calves on a weaning diet. I don't want to put too much energy. I want them to eat something that they're comfortable eating. And it's the same thing with if you can feed cows and calves together, and then you bring those calves into the weaning pen and they've kind of had the same, somewhat the same ration, boy, those calves know how to eat then. It's not like they're learning to eat something brand new. But typically we'll start out with some long-stemmed hay and then slowly introduce maybe a little bit more what we call starch into the diet. But you do that very carefully and very deliberately, and you pay attention to protein, and we don't want to overfeed them. We want to feed them to meet their needs, and then we want to feed them according to what we think they should gain and what your end point really is. Is an end point of spring-born calves to weigh 800 pounds in February? Well, then you need to feed that accordingly based on what their winning weight was. So it's not rocket surgery. It's pretty common sense stuff, but it's a huge contributor. That nutrition is a huge contributor. Those calves come in and eat, they're less likely to get sick, that's for sure.
Now, whether it's the feed company that we utilize or just based on the college classes that a guy took, are there nutrition management specialists out there that more producers are utilizing?
Absolutely. Great question, Mick. We have beef specialists scattered throughout the state. Most of them are PhD nutritionists. They can help you a great deal. We also spend a great deal of time training our extension agents in that very on that very discipline, so that some of them are more experienced than others, but all of them have gone through the fundamentals of nutrition and should understand it. And we have continuing education for our extension agents. In fact, we just had what we call an in-service, which would be continuing education for extension agents. And I gave a little talk on health, and Dr. Mark Bauer, our department head, came out and gave a great talk on nutrition, on the kind of the fundamentals. So we cover this pretty extensively for extension agents. And so you can feel comfortable going into them, visiting with them. And if there's a problem that they don't really comfortable with, then they can call their beef specialist that'll help out.
All right, super. Well, that's and we started talking about Turtle Lake at the beginning of the visit here. Are you having a meeting there tonight, Jerry?
Yeah, there's an open house for a young veterinarian that's starting a practice in Turtle Lake. There, she's a wonderful, energetic young veterinarian. Dr. Andrea is up there in Turtle Lake, and she's having an open house for her clients. And I'm going to speak there. I'm going to talk about food. I'm going to talk about even climate change a little bit, if you will. But the tremendous number of choices that we enjoy in this country versus other places, that all they're after is basically energy and protein. They don't really worry about what might be in that food. They just need to eat. Mm-hmm. And it's such a difference here than it is in other countries. And I was made mindful of that last week. I was in St. Louis for a veterinary conference and visited with a lady who's a little bit actually older than I am, and she lived in one of these developing countries. And she talked about the use of antibiotics there, and they're like buying candy. You can go in any place and buy antibiotics to use for yourself. And so they don't, for them, having livestock around is a huge issue. They face diseases that we once had pretty much eradicated in this country, but those individual cows in that country are much more important to them than perhaps we think about here. And so it's such a different environment and way people think when you are worrying about where your next meal comes from versus us that have Whole Foods and Sam's Club and Costco and wherever we want to buy, and many, many different brands. So it's kind of a wake-up call for all of us to think about how good we have it here in this land of abundance, and we do things pretty efficiently and actually pretty economically.
For sure. All right. Well, if you're listening to KCJB right now, just head on down to Turtle Lake if you got a chance, and go to the veterinarian. She's having it at her practice, I would assume, there.
So we're having the meetings actually at the Legion, but I think they must have had the clinic kind of open today for people to come in and see. And so I'm excited for her. I'm excited that veterinarians still see the opportunity in living in rural communities and being part of that rural development. It's a big thing. And so I'm very proud of her and glad to go up and do a meeting for her.
Excellent. All right. And are you at the Stockman's Convention this weekend?
Oh, yes, I am. So I'll stay in Turtle Lake tonight with my good friend, Dr. Seeger. And then I'm going to go to the Stockman's Convention, and I'll be there for several days.
All righty. Well, so head to Turtle Lake tonight or to the Grand Hotel in Minot here in the next couple of days and talk about the Impossible Burger or a real live cheeseburger.
More likely a real live cheeseburger. That's right.
For sure. All righty. Well, Jerry, any other, we only got about 30, 40 seconds to go here. Any other stewardship issues you'd like livestock producers to consider here?
You know, I guess the final thing would be, you know, when we practice good stewardship, and part of that is handling animals, just remember that you're supposed to be the smarter animal, and that in order to have cattle do what you want them to do, if you observe their behavior and you move quietly and carefully, you can usually get them to do what you want them to do. And when it comes to weaning calves and sorting those calves off from the cows, spending a little time in the pen with those calves, just getting them used to your presence, it really influences behavior of those calves, and they'll wean quicker, they'll forget their mothers faster, and it'll be a better experience for all around, both humans and animals.
Be the smarter critter in the pen. All righty, good advice. Dr. Gerald Stocka, NDSU Livestock Stewardship Specialist. Thanks a lot, Jerry, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, Mick.
You bet. And that's Stewardship Wednesday, brought to you by Agassiz Seed and Supply, your original home for cover crops since the 70s.